Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I face my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as his grace flowed down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. God has been my father, my savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side he's always stood. Through it all, God's been good. Through it all, God's been good.
God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. God is good. He's good because he's faithful. That's right. And I'm thankful that God is good. You say, how often is God good? All the time. So I don't see it all the time. Well, you're not looking right. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I'm thankful for God's goodness. I want to talk to you this morning. I'm going to start a series of messages on the greatest sermon that was ever preached. It wasn't by a preacher down the road or from this church or maybe from your home church if you're visiting with us today. The greatest sermon that's ever been preached was put in writing right here in Matthew chapter number 5. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. The preacher who preached it, Jesus Christ. Never been a message preached like this now. Never. It spans three chapters, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew chapter number 7. The Bible tells us in these three chapters what it takes to live a fulfilled and a purposeful life for the glory of God. Our world is searching for happiness. Several years ago, I read an article in a magazine as I was sitting at a doctor's office. The magazine was called Psychology Today. And there was something on the cover of that magazine that caught my attention. It said, "What is happiness and how can it be obtained?" I thought, well, this ought to be interesting. And so I opened up that magazine and I began to read in that magazine about tests and the questionnaire that had been put as people had been polled on those two questions. What is happiness and how can it be obtained? Before they went into saying what different people thought and the answers and the conclusion of what they come up with by what people, such as you and I, people who live in this world, thought that happiness was and how it could be obtained, they began to talk about how far people would go and how deep people would dig and how much money people have spent and would spend to know happiness. And I thought, wow, that's something. You know, man has an insatiable desire to be happy. There's not a person sitting under the sound of my voice that doesn't want to be happy. Everyone wants to be happy. I hear this saying a lot as I'm ministering to people that are hurting. There's normally someone that's standing by and they say, "You know what? It shouldn't be this way. You deserve to be happy." Well, let me start out by saying, first of all, no one deserves to be happy. Okay, why? Because we're sinners. You say, "Well, I can't help that, preacher. I was born a sinner." Well, you got me there. Okay, you certainly are born a sinner. But I want to remind each one of us that not only are we sinners by birth, we are sinners by choice. See, we don't believe this lie that has been concocted by the devil that I couldn't help it. Someone made me do it. The devil made me do it. Or it's because of my parents or my upbringing. Or it's because of the teachers, because of the preachers, because of the church, it's because of the friends. No, listen, if I sin this week, it will be because I choose to. If you sin this week, it will be because you choose to. So, to say that we deserve happiness, we're already approaching it wrong, so we're not going to get the right answer. You can't approach things the wrong way and expect the right outcome. And that's what's bothering, really, a lot of our world today, is so many people are doing the wrong things the wrong way, but expecting the right result. Doesn't happen, folks. What does God say happiness is? Well, when Jesus began this message, this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus began this, he began it by 9 consecutive times. If you'll look from chapter 5 and verse number 3, verse number 4, verse number 5, verse number 6, verse number 7, verse number 8, verse number 9, verse number 10, verse number 11, 9 consecutive times, Jesus begins the verse with this word, blessed. Happy. You want to live a blessed life? You want to live a happy life? You say, "Preacher, you know I do." Well, don't we all? But it just doesn't happen. You see, the two main things that came back from that survey that I mentioned earlier from Psychology Today was, number one, happiness can be obtained, listen carefully, by prosperity. Well, research has been done, and prosperity cannot buy you happiness. There's some things that prosperity can buy, but there's also some things it cannot buy. Right? Absolutely. So prosperity cannot buy happiness. I did not need to read Psychology Today to know that. The book that you have in your lap or in your hands today, if you have a copy of the Word of God, tells us that, and we'll see in just a moment. All right? So, prosperity doesn't produce happiness. I'll tell you what it does do. It provides a little more comfort in people's misery to where they will continue to rely on it in search of happiness. Do I need to say that again? Because there are people who think because they're comfortable in their situation, because they've gained a few things or they have a few things, that they're happy. Can I tell you something? Things, what we have, do not make us happy.
Amen.
So don't miss that. Okay? What we have does not make us happy. Number two, the second leading answer as to what is happiness and how can it be obtained. Number one was prosperity. Number two in this poll, in this survey by human beings, by people that were polled, was pleasure, entertainment, amusement, sports, sex, pleasure. All right? Pleasure. Got to go out and get a feeling. I got to get a feeling that's going to make me happy, going to produce some happiness in me. So, you see, what people have said by the poll is, what I have is going to make me happy. No, it's not. How I feel is going to make me happy. No, it's not. See, happiness cannot be defined by what we have. Prosperity won't produce it. Happiness cannot be defined by how we feel. Feelings, pleasure will not produce it. What did Jesus say? Look at what he said. Blessed are, verse number 3. Look in verse number 4. Blessed are, verse number 5. Blessed are, verse number 6. Blessed are, what's he saying? He's saying happiness, blessedness, the life of blessing cannot be purchased. It's not by prosperity. It's not what you have, nor is it how you feel, but it is who you are. Don't miss that. See, happiness comes out of who you choose to be in life. You want to be happy? Be the right person. Have the right relationship. Find your place in God. Find your purpose in life. You say, preacher, that's impossible. Oh, no, it's not. God has a plan, a purpose for every person. And you will never, I will never be happy until I'm in that place. Never. I say this often, one of the most eye-opening days of my life was when a wise man stepped into my office as a pastor in South Carolina, and he said, Pastor, when were you born? I told him, November the 21st, 1960. You say, preacher, you don't look that old. I know. And then he asked me the most searching question that I'd ever been asked since I was asked, are you saved? And I was asked that. This is the most searching question. It penetrated to the depths of my heart. He said, preacher, why were you born? I'd never been asked that question. I thought, wow, I don't know. And I got to tell you, the first thing that came to my mind was, you know, mom and dad, you know, I mean, do I have to explain this to you? I mean, you're an old man. But he broke it down for me. And he said, you know, isn't it something that we celebrate every year and we make so much out of when we were born and we celebrate and we have parties and we make a big to-do out of it. But when we were born is not anywhere near as important as why we were born. And most people go through life every year of their life celebrating when they were born, and they live their entire life and never know why they were born. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't get that off my mind for days. And God began to work in my heart, and I began to search, and I said, God, I want to know. I want to know why I was born. And God made it real to me. I wonder if you've ever sought why you were born. What's your purpose in life? You say, preacher, I'm just hanging out in life. Listen, live life. Don't just exist. Don't just exist until you expire. Live your life. Live your life. God gave us this life to enjoy. God gave us this life to serve. God gave us this life to magnify and to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Live life to its fullest. But there's only one way to do that. You got to approach it through what this book right here teaches. Now I want you to notice something here. All right? Jesus said, It's not what you have. Now watch this now. I want you to turn just for a moment, because some may be thinking, turn to Luke chapter 12. Some may be thinking, well, you know what? I'm going to get a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to prove the preacher wrong. This is not about you and the preacher. I'm telling you what God said. Jesus, the same one that preached this message that I'm reading to you today, said this in Luke 12. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter number 12. Are you there? Look at verse number 15. You say, I'm going to dedicate my life to working 60, 70 hours a week and making a bunch of money, and I'm going to be happy. Really? Can I tell you that Nelson Rockefeller wasn't happy? You ought to study the last days of his life. Can I tell you that men who had billions and billions of dollars, and that's all they had, died miserable? And there's nothing wrong with having things as long as things do not have us. And as long as things don't replace the purpose of our life. Jesus said this in Luke 12, 15. Don't miss it now. Look at it if you would. Look down at your Bible. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Somebody needs to get that news flash out there. Because there is a group of people who live their life for the next thing that they can possess. And they think, if I could just have that one more thing, if I could just have that one more possession, if I could just own, if I could just buy that one more thing, surely I'll be happy, preacher. Surely I'll have joy and I'll have purpose in my life. Your life is not going to be blessed by what you have. Preacher, if I could just experience that one more thrill, if I could just experience that one more thing, then surely I would be happy. Can I tell you, the Bible says that your life is not going to be blessed. It's not going to be fulfilled by the things you feel. Life is going to be blessed by the person you are. And we get to decide who that's going to be. Who have you chosen to be? Now, there's only two choices to really make in life. We can break them down into many, many categories. Turn back to Matthew chapter 5. We can break it down into many, many subcategories, but I'm going to just generalize it and make it simple here, okay? Two ways. We can live life our way, or we can live life God's way. Now I realize within that there's a lot of subcategories. I understand that. But because of time, we have baptism. I'm excited for those being baptized today. I want to get right to the crux, the meat, and give you something that will help you to get on a quest that your soul would begin to hunger and to thirst, and you wouldn't be able to sleep. You listen, you'd lose your appetite until God revealed to you what your purpose in life is. You say, God, I don't want to just exist. I don't want to just go through a number of years, 70 and never know why I was put here. God in heaven, show me my purpose in life. There's nothing greater you'll ever experience in life outside of salvation as to knowing what God's purpose for your life. We call it God's will. The Bible calls it God's will for your life. What is God's will for your life? You say, well, preacher, I thought only preachers and evangelists and missionaries experience God's will. God has a will for every purpose, for every person that comes into this earth. Every person that's ever been born, God had a purpose for it. God doesn't do anything just to be doing things. God does things for a detailed, particular, specific purpose. Why did God put you here? So I've never thought about it. I think it's time to start thinking. Now here's what Jesus said. I'm going to break this down for you, give you a truth or two, and then we're going to talk about this over the next several Sunday mornings, all right? Because here is the recipe for happy living. I'm telling you, brethren. You say, preacher, are you happy? You don't see it? If you don't see it, I'm sorry. I failed. You're looking at a happy man. I'm happy. Why are you happy, preacher? You must have a lot. Well, God's blessed me, and I'm not going to deny that. I have more than I deserve, I'll tell you that.
God's blessed me abundantly. And I do have some things. You say, preacher, you must enjoy good feelings from time to time. I do. I feel good about a lot of things in my life. But I'm happy about who I am. I'm happy about who God's made me. I'm happy about where I am in life. I'm happy that God has chosen me to do what I do in life. And I love it. I love it. What about you? You love life? You love what you're doing in life? Please tell me you don't wake up every day moaning and groaning and belly aching and saying, oh, another day. Blue Monday. Worst Friday. Oh, please tell me, God. Please tell me that's not your life. Oh, if that's your life, you're missing it. Amen. You're missing it. Amen. You don't have to miss it. Don't you let the devil sidetrack you into believing that you have to accept class B, second class. You're a child of God. Amen. You're a child of the King. Amen. Live like it. Right. Live like it. Right. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Everybody ought to say amen. Brethren, listen, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, if you've been to Calvary, you're a child of God. Live like it. Live like it. Say, preacher, I sure do wish more people come at me and ask me what I've got they don't have. Really, it's who I have that they don't have. I wish more people come up to me. Live like it. There is a world out here that is searching. And if we'll live like it, brother, I'm telling you, they'll come to us. They will. They'll gravitate to us. But when we live like them, below the circumstances, steeped in sin, steeped in defeat, they're not going to come to us because they're going to view us as themselves. Jesus said this. I want to break it down for you. Watch it. You're in Matthew 5, give you a few truths, and then we'll honor these folks in baptism. I'm excited for those being baptized today. Got saved, accepted Jesus as their Savior, new creation in Christ Jesus. Hey, if that don't get you, listen, if that don't get something stirring up on the inside, there might not be anything on the inside to stir. Amen? Matthew chapter number 5. Notice, if you would, if you have a highlighter or you write in your Bible, and I realize some people don't, but if you do, look at verse 5. I'm sorry, 3, 4, and 5. These three belong in a group. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about today. I'm not going to talk about any of the others. This talks about our Godward relationship. Our upward, all right? Verse number 6, 7, and 8, they go together, all right? And this talks about our inward, ourself. And then verse 9, 10, 11, this talks about our outward, how we deal with other people. So we have, first of all, our Godward, verse 3, 4, and 5. And then we have our selfward, all right? Verse 6, 7, and 8. And then we have our outward or manward. How we're to deal. What's going to make us happy in these situations. By the way, this is what life consists of. Our Godward relationship, our inward relationship, and our outward relationships. This is life. And Jesus said, I'm getting ready to break it down to you and tell you how you can enjoy it. All right? Follow me. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's that, preacher? What's that mean to you when I read that? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is not for everyone. It's for a special group of people. You say, well, is it for me, preacher? I don't know. Let's see. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What's that mean? You say, well, preacher, I would think the poor in spirit would be somebody that walks around like, woe is me. I'm nothing. That's not the poor in spirit. You know what that word, when that phrase poor in spirit, listen to me now, it means destitute. It's where we get our phrase bankrupt. Blessed are those people that realize spiritually they have nothing to offer God. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We don't have anything to offer God. And Jesus said, you want to be happy in life? Don't think you're all that now. Now listen to me. See, man's chief problem is he's stuck on himself. We're full of pride. Y'all, not me, preacher. Well, you're so proud you won't even admit you're proud. Amen. Jesus said, you want to have the right relationship with God? Here's where it begins. You've got to see yourself as God sees you. How do you see yourself this morning? So I'm a pretty good person. Wait a minute now. Hold it. See, this is where today's preaching differs from preaching of yesteryear. Now listen to me, folks. Amen. There was a day when Christians, when people like what's in this building would meet together in the old meeting houses, church, now listen to me, and they would see themselves as God saw them. They would realize, God, if you don't show up, nothing good's going to happen here today. God, if you don't show up, we're not going to worship. God, if you don't show up, I'm not going to receive what I need today to help me along life's journey. Why? They were poor in spirit. See, poor in spirit says, I'm not dependent on me. I'm poor in spirit. I'm not dependent on what I can do and who I am and what abilities I have. I'm dependent on God. See, when I go to God, I'm bankrupt. I'm bankrupt. Now, what does that mean? Write this word down. Emptiness. Here's what Jesus is saying. You've got to, listen, you've got to come before God empty. You'll never, listen to me now, you'll never get saved until you get lost. The reason so many people are not going to the kingdom of God. Who did Jesus say, there is just the kingdom of heaven? Who? The poor in spirit. Those that think they're okay, they're not going. Why? Because they don't realize there's nothing good in us. The Bible goes to great pains and lengths to tell us there's none good. Right? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we don't measure up, brethren. When God found me, he found me empty, bankrupt. Has God ever found you that way? Because Jesus didn't come to minister to the whole. He came to minister to the sick. He didn't come to minister to those who are full of themselves. He came to minister to those who are empty of themselves. Have you ever been empty before God? Have you ever seen yourself the way God sees you? See, a lot of times we see ourselves the way we see ourselves, and we can't understand why everybody don't think we're great. Right? Come on, folks. But have you ever seen yourself the way God sees you? This is what he's saying. Blessed. All right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Have you ever been under conviction for your sin? Have you ever felt so bad that your sin, it's what nailed Jesus to the cross that has brought tears to your eyes. I've heard people say all of my Christian life, if you were the only sinner, Jesus would have died for you. Can I tell you, if you were the only sinner, Jesus would have had to die for you. That's the only way you could have ever had peace in your heart. Don't think your sin's not enough to nail Jesus to the tree. You say, well, all the sin of all the world nailed Jesus to the tree. I understand that. But just my sin alone could have nailed him to that tree. Just your sin alone could have nailed him to that tree. We like to blame it on the Roman soldiers. But can I tell you, we were the driving force that put the Roman soldiers to work to nail him to that tree that day. Don't you ever forget that now. It was your sin. My sin. Are you poor in spirit? You want to be happy? You got to first get sad. That's what Jesus said. It's almost as if Jesus said, look at it here in chapter 5. Seeing the multitude, he went up to a mountain. When he had was said, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed. And they were thinking, yeah, let's listen to this. He's going to tell us how to be blessed. He's going to tell us how to be happy. And so we want to hear this. He said, you got to be poor in spirit. Wait a minute, what? You mean we don't have to boost ourselves and give ourselves a pep talk and talk about there's something good going to happen to you today, and boy, you're all in all a good person? No, he said, no, you got to get bankrupt. Right. You got to realize without God, you're nothing. Right. You ever been there? If you've never been there, you don't know what it is to be spiritually bankrupt. And a person who's never been spiritually bankrupt doesn't realize they need to be saved. So please listen to me. This is really important. You say, preacher, all in all, I'm a good person. I do good things, and I think my good deeds are going to go to heaven. Well, God should have kept Jesus in heaven. There would be no need in sending him here to die for your sin then. Right? Why, if our good deeds could get us to heaven, Jesus dying on the cross was of no effect. It wasn't even needful. But can I tell you, it was not only needful, it was an absolute necessity. If we ever had a hope to have a relationship with God. So number one, emptiness. You see it there? Look at verse number 4. He said in verse number 3, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, those that are spiritually destitute, those that see themselves as God sees them, those who, like Peter, when he stood on the shore in Galilee, said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Those who, like Isaiah, when he looked up and he saw God in all of his holiness, said, woe is me, for I am undone, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips. Those like Paul, who spent his life after Jesus saved him on the road to Damascus, saying, listen, brethren, I'm nothing. I spent my life doing the wrong things, going the wrong direction, until I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He changed my life. Has Jesus changed your life? Number two, not only was there a change about yourself, you've got to realize there's a change about your sin. Look what he said. Blessed are they that mourn. How about your sin? Your sin make you mourn? You're not one of those that can sin and laugh and hype it up and carry on and sin and enjoy it and just think, man, this is a great, great life. You'll never be happy. There's something not right. If you can sin, I like what someone asked Charles Spurgeon years ago. They said, Mr. Spurgeon, do you still sin now that you're saved? He said, oh, yeah. He said, I do. But he said, you know, something unique has happened in my life. I can no longer sin and enjoy it. What do you mean, preacher? You know, there's some things I used to enjoy doing before I got saved. I can't enjoy those anymore. Oh, I could do them. I can't enjoy them. I used to enjoy them immensely. I can't now. Why? The Holy Spirit of God lives in me. And when I sin, it grieves him. And when it grieves him, it grieves me. Do you mourn about your sin? Now listen, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Look at what he said. You want to be happy? You got to view sin a certain way. Look at verse number 4. Blessed are they that mourn. Are you mourning about your sin? Does your sin make you sad? When you let God down, when you sin against God's commandment, when you break God's commandment, does that make you sorrowful? Does that make you mournful? It ought to. Jesus said, you want to be happy? You need to get to the place of where your sin makes you sad. You'll never know what joy in life is until you have this mindset about your sin. That's what Jesus said. He said, blessed. You want to be blessed? You don't have to go out and shop and buy a bunch of stuff. I know it disappoints some of you ladies. Amen. You say, preacher, you mind your own business when it comes to shopping. Just talk about some other stuff. Amen. Listen to me. Listen now. I'm telling you what Jesus said about living a happy life. You want to be blessed? Everybody in here wants to be blessed. I don't have to ask you that. I know you want to be blessed. Here's the way to be blessed. Number one, you got to change your attitude about yourself. You got to realize you're poor in spirit. Without God, you're nothing. Without God, you'd be doomed to hell, and everything that's good about you, everything that's good about me, it's of God. There's no good in me whatsoever. None. Anything good you see in this preacher, you rest assured it's God. It's not me. For there's no good thing, Romans 7:18, that dwelleth in this flesh. Poor in spirit. Number two, Do you mourn? Blessed are they that mourn. Why? Watch it now. Watch it. For they shall be comforted. Number one, when we're poor in spirit, God is setting us up so that we can be saved. And when we get saved, we inherit the kingdom of heaven. Number two, when we mourn about our sin, then we can be sorry for it, and there will be repentance, and God can give forgiveness, and only through forgiveness do we have comfort in our lives. See, there's this false comfort going around today that's disturbing me, where people just pat you on the back and say, well, it'll be okay. Well, it might. It might be okay. Right? Who are we to say it's going to be okay? If we don't do it God's way, it may not be okay. There's this false comforting that's going around. What did Job say? Miserable comforters are you all. Right? And there's this false comfort where we just pat people. Well, you just go ahead and keep sinning and keep breaking God's commandment. No, we don't say it that way. But, you know, just keep sinning and keep breaking God's commandments and keep living life your way and everything's going to be okay. No, it's not. It's not, brethren. Jesus said this. You want to be blessed? Look at verse 4. You've got to mourn. You want some comfort? You got to be sorry for your sin. Blessed are they that mourn, for they're the ones that's going to be comforted. Right? Brethren, does the Bible teach this? I'm just reading you right out of the Bible. Listen, I realize this is foreign from what takes place outside these walls here. I realize that. So what's he saying? He said, verse number 3, there's got to be an emptiness. Verse number 4, there's got to be a brokenness. Are you broken about your sin? Am I broken? Does it disturb me? Does it bother me when I let God down? It ought to bother us. Some of us are more concerned about letting a family member down than we are the God of heaven. I don't want to let anyone down. But at the top of that list, I don't want to let God down. And I don't think you do either. I just don't believe that you do. Number one, emptiness. You got to change your attitude about yourself. Number two, brokenness. You got to change your attitude about sin. Right? And we'll close with this thought. All right? Here's the point y'all been looking for, the last one. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Blessed are the meek. See, Jesus is saying, when you become these things, when you are these things, then you'll be happy. You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? Then be poor in spirit. Realize that you had nothing to offer God. It's all of God's grace that you're saved. It's all of God's grace that you're going to heaven. Right? Grace, brethren, grace alone. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Say amen with me now. Listen, this is Bible. I realize that this is foreign from the message that's going on around our world, but God's word is always right. It's never wrong. Amen. Never. And so Jesus said, you want to be blessed? You want to live a happy life? You've got to come before God empty and say, God, I have nothing to offer. But if you would have mercy on me, God, have mercy. That old publican down at the temple smote himself and said, be merciful to me. A sinner. And Jesus said that man went back to his house justified. Right? Poor in spirit. Emptiness. Number two, mourn. You want some comfort in your life? I mean some real comfort. Some real comfort. Some deep comfort that'll help bring happiness in spite of sadness. Blessedness in spite of circumstances. How can I have it, preacher? Be sorrowful for your sin. Be broken. So we move from emptiness in verse number 3 to brokenness in verse number 4, and then we're going to talk finally about submissiveness. Are you willing to submit? If God shows you what your purpose is, are you willing to follow it? You see, I've been asking God to show me his purpose for years, preacher, and I hadn't seen it yet. Well, maybe the question you should be asking is not to God, it's to yourself. When God does show it, am I willing to follow it? Right? When God shows you, I've heard people say all the time, well, you know what, maybe God wants me to do this, but I'm going to do this. You're messing up. You're messing up. When God shows you, look what he said, and we'll close. Emptiness, verse 3, to brokenness, verse 4, to submissiveness. Blessed, in verse number 5, are the meek. Now, the word meek doesn't mean weak. The word weak means weak, right? Not meek. Jesus was the meekest man ever to live. He said, "I am meek," in Matthew 11, "and lowly in heart." Moses was the weakest human being ever to live outside the Lord Jesus Christ. These men were not weak, but they were meek. This word means gentle. It means power that's harnessed, power under control. So here's what he's saying. If God empowers you, blessed are the meek. If God empowers you to know your purpose, are you willing to carry it out? Are you willing to do what God shows you to do? Am I? Now listen, young folks. This could be a real challenge here. Because God will ask you to do hard stuff. And that's just not for our young folks here today. That's for everyone. God will ask you to do the hard thing. Amen, Dr. Thompson? Man, 90 years old, been serving God for, listen, longer than most of us are here old. And he can tell you God has asked he and Miss Mary to do some hard things. But you know what? They've done the hard thing. They're happy. They're blessed. They're blessed. Why? Because they've done it God's way. There's an old singer years ago who said, "I had it my way." You don't want it your way now. You hear me now. You don't want it your way. You want it God's way. You want to be happy? Here's the beginning of a recipe. You got to make things right with God first. You say, "Well, I got to find me some peace." Now, wait a minute. Jesus didn't start with you. We'll get to you in verse 6, 7, and 8. I promise you. "Well, I've got some people outside that I want to restore some things with." We'll get to that later on. It all begins with God. That's where it is. Jesus has got a monopoly on joy. Yeah. Can't be happy without God. I'm going to ask you to turn to Ecclesiastes and stand to your feet. We're going to read some scripture and close in prayer. You say, "Where's the book of Ecclesiastes?" Well, it's in what we call the poetry books. All right? Find the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn to chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Stand up if you would. We're going to close with this. So let's review now. I'm laying some groundwork for this great sermon that Jesus preached. All right? Emptiness. Poor in spirit. Brokenness. Mourn. You sorry for your sin? Submissiveness, meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Wow. You say, "When's that going to happen?" Well, we'll talk about that some next week. It's something. All right? Now, how many of you know who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? Raise your hand. Let me see if there's a young person here. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes there? Isaiah? Jeremiah, not the book of Ecclesiastes. Someone else. Let's see if we got a young person. Who's a young person? Raise your hand here. Wendy, who told you you was young? No, really, I want to know. Go ahead, Sister Wendy. Solomon, the preacher. Solomon. I like to kid with Wendy. Her and John are good folks. I appreciate it. Now, here's what Solomon said. Solomon said, "I asked God for wisdom, and he gave me wisdom." And he said, "You can have anything else you want to, right?" And he said, "So I started to search out, why am I here?" That's what we've been talking about this morning. Why is man here? What purpose is there under the sun? And here's what he said. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, "I said in mine heart, go to now, and I will prove thee," verse number 1, "with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure." But he said, "You know what? This is vanity. Pleasure's not going to bring you joy." I didn't need to read psychology today to know that. God already told me that hundreds of years earlier. Amen? Look what else he said. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, "I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine." Going to party. Going to live it up. Wine. wine and women and wealth. Yeah, man, we're going to have happiness. You know what he said? Vanity. All is vanity. Then he said, I'm going to work and I'm going to labor and I'm going to build my hands and I'm going to create things. Listen, you read this sometime. He said in verse number 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens. Life without God has no joy. No joy. Vanity. All is vanity. You can do what you want. Listen, you can party. You can build. You can drink. You can run around. You can get pleasure seeking mad. You hear me now? Life without God, no joy. No blessedness. Doesn't matter how much you have. Doesn't matter how good you feel. No joy without God. And this is what this man said. He said, I summed it up. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. Then I looked, chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, verse number 11. I looked on all the works of my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity, which means futile, empty, void. All was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of sad. I close with this verse, chapter 12. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. So here's a man who said, okay, I want to be happy. And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you how to be happy. You got to become something. How am I going to become that, preacher? How am I going to become that person that can be happy? Here's the answer. You've been waiting on it for 35 minutes. Maybe 40. Preachers keep time different than normal folks. We don't count our introductions and closings. Chapter 12, verse number 13. You say, preacher, I want to be happy. I want to be that blessed man. How can I be? Summed up right here. Let us hear, chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Man done searched it all now. Done searched it all. And he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You say, I want to be happy, preacher. I want to be that blessed man. You must come to Christ and be saved. You must fear Him. And then once you do, you must yearn to keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Right? You say, well, I thought it was going to be something hard. Well, it's only hard when we make it hard. Let's bow our heads together. If you're being baptized today and you want to prepare for baptism, that's fine. Maybe God spoke to your heart, though. While our young folks are being summoned, I wonder if there's someone here, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Is there someone here today that would say, preacher, as you were preaching, God spoke to my heart, I've never been saved. I thought being a good person would get me to heaven. I thought my good works, or I thought my church affiliation, or I thought something different would get me to heaven. But today, God showed me the only way I could get to heaven is to come to Him poor in spirit and broken and empty and trust that Jesus died for me and was buried and rose again. And now I want to trust Him as my personal Savior. Preacher, I've never been saved. Would you please pray for me? I don't want to die without Christ. I don't even want to continue to live without Him. Preacher, please. Pray for me. Could I see your hand? Anyone like that today? You don't have to be ashamed. Anyone, if you're lost, if you've never trusted Christ, let me pray for you. Anyone like that? Last time I asked, we don't pressure people. If you want to trust Christ, if you want to enter into a personal relationship with Him today, He will save you if you will come. Anyone like that? Is there someone here today say, preacher, I am saved. I know Jesus, but today, God spoke to my heart. I want to be that blessed person. I want some peace and some joy, some happiness, some blessedness in my life, and it's been eluding me. Today, God spoke to my heart, and I want you to pray for me. Could I see your hand? Anyone like that? God bless you, sir. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand there. Anyone else? Yes, sir. God bless you. God bless you, young man. Anyone else? Preacher, I need God to make real in my heart what I heard from His word today. I am in need. Anyone like that? Last time I'll ask, if God spoke to your heart now, many have come to the altar and they're just telling whatever God did in their life, they're just telling it to the Lord. We're not going to approach you. If you want to come and kneel at the altar and pray, you come and do that. This is between you and God. Now, if you need some help, we'll pray with you. But this is between you and God. Anyone else? Anyone else?